Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back into the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. I'm Jim Galante, along with Andrew P. Shea. Andy, before we get to our quarter number four segment, we got to name our winner from Ask Ross, and that will be Jim in Syracuse. Jim, I'll be getting in touch with you. Up in Syracuse, they could really use a sweatshirt, can't they? If it's not an overcoat. So, anyway, if it's cold around here, it's really cold up there. All right, Andy, here's what we got for quarter number four. And in quarter number two with Ross, went through a segment where we reviewed the 21 season, and I want to do the same thing with you. I want to give you the similar questions, see how your answers compare to Ross's.
Interesting.
It'll be fascinating to hear. So let's start with this in our review.
Okay.
2021 season, what was your biggest story?
So I think it's how a 5-0 season, 5-0 start full of promise and excitement became an underperforming and disappointing 7-6 campaign that sort of moved the Nittany Lions from the sort of upper tier of the Big Ten Conference into middle of the pack status a little bit, with an 11-11 record overall the last two seasons. While at the same time, all of that was taking place on the field, that the head coach received a raise and an extension and a new contract. That's a disconnect to me. That feels like a disconnect. I mean, when you go 11-11 at a, you know, Power 5 conference school, especially at a Power 5 conference school with the pedigree and program tradition and history of Penn State, I think that's hot seat territory, right? That's a hot seat. And I'm not a big fire the coach guy, but this is not it's not the case. And the underperformance and disappointment on the field doesn't sort of match the elevation of what took place with the head coach off the field. There's a disconnect there in my estimation and in my opinion, and that was the biggest story for me in 2021.
Well, I liked how you tied the two stories together, what happened on the field and what happened off. And James Franklin owes a real debt of gratitude to USC because they're the ones who prompted this. They're the ones who made it happen.
They did.
So, and, you know, he now is pretty much, well, he not pretty much. He is guaranteed that money for the next 10 years. If Penn State decides, hey, you know, we're not happy with this guy, guess what? Still owe him that money. So kudos to James Franklin and his agent. They did a heck of a job there. But, yeah, at one point in the season, going into the Iowa game and perhaps even in a quarter and a half into the game with a multi-touchdown lead and ranked in the top five in the country, you know, they look like they were prepared not just for, I'm not saying number one or two in the country, but they look like they might be one of the best teams in the country, not just in the Big Ten, Andy.
Yeah, that was a long, long time ago, it seems like. But it also, at the same time, for Penn State fans, it probably feels like it was only a moment ago that that's where they were. And that's why it was the biggest story of how fast it eviscerated and free-falled into 7-6.
Well, we did see what happened with Michigan this past year after some very major disappointment in Jim Harbaugh, and they turned it around pretty quick. So, you know, perhaps we'll see that in 22. Fingers crossed for that, Andy. All right, next question. What was your most pleasant surprise of the season?
So it was, I don't think this is a stretch. It was how well the defense played pretty much over 13 games, especially considering some of the losses to injury along the defensive line that were either preseason or early in the season. And that combination with the lack of depth at linebacker, how this team, how the defense sort of, you know, shouldered more of the load and carried some of the water up the hill for this team early, and even in games they lost, right? They, you know, the Iowa game, good gracious, they gave up one touchdown. They're like, oh, they gave up the big play to Iowa. Well, don't forget, you know, about five times in the second half, Iowa started on Penn State's side of the field and couldn't get any points. And man, there was some good, the defense and the way it performed and carried the water was a pleasant surprise, especially considering those two caveats for me, which was the losses up front that to impact players and the sort of overall lack of depth at the linebacker position beyond, you know, sort of the starters.
Makes you wonder what's 22 going to look like for the defense when they lose,
yes,
by my count, six starters.
Yes. That is the question going in to 2022 should be the talk of the offseason. And that's the player thing. It's the fun side is how's their development going on that side of the ball? And we're going to learn about it right now, because I think the development of players in terms of talent development, I'm not looking at it as a team thing. These days, I'm looking at it at a position thing. And I'm, you know, in there was a point where I'd say overall Penn State's talent development is moving in a good direction. And I think it's moving in a couple different directions. Plus, now you're going to have a new DC. You lost your DC. So, you know, that's another factor in the equation. So it'll be a very interesting offseason on that side of the ball. I don't say that optimistically with a negative connotation. I'm like, this will be fun to watch develop.
All right. We'll go from pleasant surprise to what was your biggest disappointment of the season?
So it was how much the injury to Sean Clifford in the Iowa game impacted this team and this offense and the inability of them overall to handle the adversity of that on any level in pretty much any way, shape, or form. Like, I understand the quarterback room was light. I know they've had transfers, but that the impact of his injury was, I don't know how you felt, Jimmy, but I was like, okay, yeah, that's going to leave a mark, but I didn't think it was going to do that much sort of damage to this team and have quite that much of an impact, to be honest. That's just me being honest.
I always went with that narrative, the injury to Sean Clifford. It changed the team. It changed him. But in hindsight now, I'm starting to look at this. He was supposed to be healthy for the bowl game, and we still had all the same disappointment. But the running thread through all of it was the lack of a running game.
Yep,
never seen anything like this at Penn State.
Yep.
And the funny thing is, whenever I've talked to any of the experts on it, it's, what is it? Is it the offensive line? Is it the running back? Is it the tight ends? And the answer is yes, 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 yes. It was all of it. And it's hard to imagine every aspect of the running game went so far downhill so fast. So as much as, you know, that injury to Clifford and the difference, Clifford is what he is. I'm not sure. He's never going to be a great college quarterback, but the lack of a running game is just incredible to me. All right, Andy, let's move on. Again, positive spin here. What was the best coaching decision of the season?
It was finding a role for Jesse Licata that not only allowed him to sort of be on the field, but that role and his performance helped elevate that defense. It was a bit of an NFL sort of outside linebacker role that you see in a 3-4 defense. It's standing up, some hand in the ground, some rushing the quarterback, some slipping out into quarters coverage, you know, out in the flats, but that you see in the NFL today. It was a very diverse role, and there was a blueprint for it that, you know, that, and they committed to it, and Jesse committed to it. And I think as a player, Jesse Licata overachieved, but I think the decision to put him there and find and carve out that role for him that Penn State really didn't have in their defense before was an absolutely brilliant coaching move. That was mine.
It's hard to argue with that. I mean, that was an experiment that just you got to give the coaching staff and Luketa an A-plus for it. It worked out really well. And I just want to make note of one other decision that was made. And I know everybody else, or most everybody else, is doing it, but some coaches are hesitating. James Franklin went into the portal and got multiple starters.
Yes.
And that, good for him. And it seems like he was very particular in the type of player he would bring in. But it paid off dividends. And I'm really curious to see how it will turn out this season going into 22, if he could do as well getting multiple starters from the portal. All right, Andy, we went best coaching decision. Now I want to know the worst coaching decision that you saw this past season.
Yeah, this one was a little tougher because I had to think about, okay, there was like three or four of them that jumped out, but I think putting Taquan Roberson on the field in the Iowa game was the worst coaching decision. And I say that because after 2.5 years of observation, evaluation, development, that was where you landed. That was your decision. And for me, that the way I looked at it, that was a colossal failure on so many levels in my book. And I'm not saying I give Roberson a free pass and say this was just a coaching decision and saying the coaches set him up to fail. He didn't do his part either, but there were elements of preparation that he fell woefully short on as well. So he had a little bit of skin in this game, but that's where you landed as the leader and, you know, the decision maker. And for me, that was an all-around disaster.
That's a good call there, Andy, obviously, and that just seemed to lead to the whole downfall of the season. I want to bring up one item that I don't think gets talked about enough, and it may not have made any difference, but the decision to play those freshman linebackers for 4 games during the regular season, then when you needed them in the bowl game, you would have had to burn their red shirt and play them in that 5th game. It showed something that you don't often see from James Franklin, which was a lack of preparation. And yes, I think he could have foresaw the issue by talking to the players about it ahead of time, number one. And number two, realizing the lack of depth that he had at linebacker. And if he did have anybody declaring, you know, for the draft and opting out, he would be in real trouble at linebacker. So I thought that was an indication that he wasn't ready for that. All right, real fast, Andy, how about your under-the-radar player?
It was Derek Tangelo for me, easy. All season long, and when Mustafer went out, he was even better. He was good from the jump, and when Mustafer got hurt, he filled a role. Derek Tangelo, hands down.
All right, real good answer there, Andy. Great answers. But that is it for the show. Thank you all for listening. Be sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.